Okay, I'm gonna get started. So, you know, this is not so much gonna be a sheer, more just like a pep talk about this year. I mean, it's just a couple of halachic issues, but also just to give us each a little chizuk, a little strength as we tackle and try to deal with and manage this particular putting and arranging Pesach. I'm going to mute everyone for a little bit, and if you have questions, I'll open up the chat room, and also I'll mute it when I finish. So for any questions, I'm going to put it on mute for a few seconds. We got our chat room. Okay. So, you know, I don't think there's a Jew. I can't imagine that there's a Jew alive this year that their Pesach has not been impacted to one extent or another. I mean, either you're planning on going somewhere, you're planning on people coming to you, you're going to a hotel, you're traveling, you're going to half Pesach with this family, half the Pesach with that family, going to friends. I mean, everyone, I think on some level or the other, has had their Pesach plans changed. I know even for myself, you know, my wife and I, so for the last 18 years, we always have Pesach here, here in Detroit. I work on Pesach. So it's not like we were going to be going anywhere or doing anything different. But my in-laws were supposed to be with us this year, and they canceled. Our son David was supposed to be in Israel, and really he was hoping to make that happen. And only in the last few days, realizing it was just not going to work out, so he came back to America. I think on Tuesday or Wednesday. I mean, all of us have been impacted this year. And on many levels, it's very upsetting, disappointing. You know, forget just being scared and frightened in general, what's going on in the world. But just, you know, from the perspective of Pesach, you know, you think and you plan so much in advance, you know, months in advance, we know what you're doing for Pesach. Right? You're going to a hotel, you booked it, I don't know, a year in advance, however much in advance you booked the hotel, spoke to your kids, to your parents, we all have plans, and they've all been upended. And so it's upsetting and it's disappointing, you know. And for some people, they've never made Pesach before. And for some people, it's I know someone who told me that they're in their 60s. They're in their 70s. This person is in their young 70s and they told me they never made Pesach before. They always went to their parents and then they went to a hotel. They never made Pesach before. So I mean, that's like, it's radical. It's totally unnerving and. It's obviously a shock, and so what I want to do just in the next few moments is just to reiterate, I think, a couple of important points. So number one is that with travel and how important it is, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an expert, but, you know, if you're not going away and because you don't want to expose others, you don't want to get exposed, you're making the right decision. You made the right choice. If you had to have a difficult conversation with your children, your grandchildren, and tell them that they can't come for Pesach, so you did the right thing, right? To protect yourself, to protect them, to help out the healthcare system and where they live, where you live, you did the right thing. And it's like what I often tell. Every so often I have a conversation with someone before Yom Kippur. That whatever their medical condition is, that they'll need, that they won't be able to fast the Siyar Yom Kippur, whatever the reason is, they won't be able to. And I remember I had a conversation once with someone a couple of years ago. They were so upset, so disappointed. For over 60 years, they always fasted on Yom Kippur, and you know, how could they not fast on Yom Kippur? So I told them, I said, for 60 years, Hashem wanted you to fast. You were doing the Ratzon Hashem. You're doing God's will by fasting. Well, this year, guess what? The Ratzon Hashem is that you don't fast. That's what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to fast this year. And if you fast, you're not serving God. God, you're going to be serving Him this year by fasting. So that's with Yom Kippur. And I think this year with Pesach, we're doing the right thing by protecting ourselves, protecting our loved ones, and staying home and telling them to stay home. And it is what it is. And God willing, next year everything will be wonderful. We'll be back to how we usually celebrate Pesach. But for this year, just to accept that things are different, and for whatever reason, God wants it to be different this year. And we're doing the right thing by taking care of ourselves. That's most important. Now, one of the things I've talked to people about is cleaning. You know, to what extent do you have to clean for Pesach this year? So I think a lot of it depends on your what your physical ability is, and how you have the ability to do, what you don't have the ability to do. I told one of the younger couples, they told me that they heard you don't have to clean as much this year. So I told them, I said, I think for you guys, you should need to clean like you always clean. That you're young, your children are, thank God, are of the age that they can participate and help out. And that will help give them a proper chinuch of how, a proper education of how to prepare for Pesach. Your home, there's a lot of time to do this. But I think, you know, you should do a regular cleaning like you always do. Why should this Pesach, Manashtana, Pesach Hazah, we call it Pesachim. Why should this Pesach be different than any other Pesach? You should fully engage in the cleaning like you always engage in. As opposed to someone who maybe physically is much more of a challenge to clean one's home like they normally do. And especially many of us are concerned about bringing other people into our homes. Even a cleaning lady that we've known for years, who's always helped us out. And if that cleaning lady, again, for our well-being, for his well-being, for both of our well-being, not be in the home, which probably is a good idea for them not to be in your house right now, for them as well as for you. So then, okay, so they can't help you out like they usually do. And therefore, it's important to know the following. This is very important. And most of the cleaning that we do for Pesach every year are all chumras. They're stringencies. And I'll explain in a second what that means. And they're beautiful stringencies. It's very powerful. There's a lot of beautiful ideas about getting rid of chametz. It's like getting rid of the Yetzirah, evil inclination, and we get rid of every little last crumb and speck. And there's a lot of beautiful messages and meaning in that. However, it's not required. Ikra Adin, according to strict letter of the law, because for the following reason. Our custom nowadays is that when it comes to our chametz, so we obviously burn our chametz, we get rid of our chametz that manner. A lot of chametz we retain, but we don't own it because we sell the chametz, so it's not ours, we sell it. Many people will sell even a loaf of bread, a box of cookies, it's sitting in your pantry, it's in your basement, it's in your house. But you have violated absolutely nothing on Pesach because you sold it. We nullify ownership of chametz on before Pesach. And so the question, and this is not a 21st century question, already if I remember correctly, the Bali HaTosfos, the first, very first Amid of Maseches Pesachim, the beginning of the Gemara Pesachim, asked the question, why in the world do we clean our homes for Pesach when we already nullify ownership of everything? We don't own it. We don't own it. We have no plans of eating it. But why do you have to clean our houses for Pesach? And nowadays we sell it. And so Tosos answers, a very important answer. He says, well, the issue is the following. Yeah, you sold it. And yeah, you nullified it. But if you have a cookie sitting on your counter and you come down one morning, Pesach morning, and you're not thinking, like on a Shabbos, you walk into your bathroom, you don't pay attention, you accidentally turn on the light, which happens. So, okay, it happens. But on Pesach, we don't want you to walk, you know, accidentally not thinking and putting a cookie in your mouth and eating it. It wasn't done on purpose, wasn't done with intent, but we don't eat chametz on Pesach. So therefore, we don't want chametz lying around, and therefore that's why we still clean our homes. So if that's the case, why, according to the strict letter of the law, we still clean our homes, well, I don't know about you, but I don't think I ever bent down in the corner and picked up a crumb by accident to eat it. I don't think intentionally I ever ate a crumb lying on the floor, and probably not since I was 2 years old, 3 years old. We don't eat crumbs, right? We don't accidentally eat crumbs. So again, the custom is that we normally clean them. And if we can't do it, we ask our cleaning lady to do it. But if that's too challenging, if that's too difficult, if physically you're unable to do that, you shouldn't even think twice. You shouldn't feel guilty at all. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this year, just knowing your limits and recognizing that I'm not able to clean all those crumbs. I'm not able to, I don't know if you're one of those people who has a cleaning lady, you know, wash the walls, you take down all the drapes and you throw them in the wash. And you're not going to be eating your drapes on Pesach. You're not going to be licking the walls on Pesach. Again, it's a beautiful thing to do every other year. But this year, if you're not able, again, if you're able to do it, it's what you always do. And you're young, you have a lot of strength, and you have kids that can help out. So do it this year as well. Don't make this Pesach different than any other Pesach. But if you can't do it, there's nothing wrong with not saying that this year it just can't happen. And don't stress yourself out. Don't harm yourself in any way. And it's perfectly, even halachically, perfectly permissible. The only thing you really have to be careful about is, again, putting away, if you have a box of cookies on your counter, so put that away. Right? Put it in a drawer, you know, put a label that it's tummates. And then the other thing you have to do is that you'll have to, kosher. You have to, if you want to use your oven, you're going to have to kosher your oven. I went through that in my shiur last week, the different ways in which we kosher. We kosher our oven, we kosher the stovetop. You know, but the counter, you wipe down the counter, you can just cover it. Even the sink, I was telling someone today with the sink. So if you have a stainless steel sink, you pour some boiling hot water over it. Someone asked me, do you need to have like a separate dish rack for milchix and fleishix? So ideally the answer is yes. But the truth of the matter is, if you just, when you're doing milchix, you put on a new sheet of foil on the bottom and you rest your pots there. And then when you do fleishix, for dinner, you put another sheet of foil on top of that, it's totally fine. And we don't usually do that. But you have not violated anything. You've not compromised the kashrus of your kitchen in any way whatsoever. And that's it. And that's it. And I think, especially I would say for people who are the more senior crowd, I can't imagine your houses are all that dirty. And maybe there's some dust here and there, but I can't imagine most of you, maybe you do, I don't know. Do you eat cookies in every room in your house? You have three extra bedrooms upstairs that you're hoping your children are going to be using for Pesach. But I bet you, I can't imagine that those bedrooms are full of chametz. I can't imagine most of your living rooms and the family rooms are full of chametz. Maybe they are. I don't know what your how you conduct yourself in your homes. I imagine there's probably chametz in your kitchen. There's probably some chametz in your dining room. But again, even in your dining room, there's probably some crumbs under your table. So again, maybe most years you can have your clean lady, move the table a little bit to get some of those crumbs. But this year, you don't want your clean lady in your house. You don't want to, again, put anyone in danger. So, okay, so the crumbs are on the floor and you're not going to eat them. And you sold them and you nullified them and it's perfectly, perfectly, perfectly fine. You shouldn't even think twice. I think it's very, very manageable to be able to make Pesach. The other biggest challenge probably is the food and the shopping. And that's where there's a lot of concern. We want to avoid right now going out and exposing ourselves in public. And I mentioned, I think also at some point last week, we have to remember that at the end of the day, you can get by and with matzah. You have matzah for your Seder, you have some matzah and cream cheese, I don't know, whatever you eat for, during the week. So maybe this year, just to lower the expectations, I'm not going to have every single fancy dessert that I usually love to eat. I'm not going to make the most wonderful dishes that my mother and my grandmother and my great-grandma made throughout the generations. Your mother of blessed memory, your grandmother of blessed memory wants you to be safe and sound. They don't want you to put yourself at risk. And just to have, again, lower the expectations that maybe this year I'm not going to have all the same ingredients that I usually have access to. Again, there's the Detroit Chesed, and there's some other individuals. There's our WhatsApp group, people in One Stop or in other stores, and they say, I'm here, anyone need anything? And say, hey, I could use whatever you could use, and hopefully they can pick it up for you. It's not worth putting yourself at risk in compromising your health in any way, and God forbid worse. Again, just to lower the expectations that this year it's not going to be the same, and that's okay. It's okay. It's okay that it won't be the same experience that you have every year. And again, you'd be doing God's will that way. You'll be fulfilling Pesach. This, for every reason, is how God wants us to observe Pesach this year. Not in the way that we usually observe observe Pesach. You can still have your Seder, you have your Haggadah, and hopefully you have some matzah, have some wine. If anyone needs any extra matzah, I have some extra matzah in my porch right now. You can stop by and not have to expose yourself. And I got Shmura matzah on the porch. One of our members was very kind and they'd gotten a lot of products in and expecting to have a big crowd, and obviously it didn't work out. So they said, hey, we want to help other people out. So if anyone needs a matzah, I got some matzah on my porch. We just have to help each other out. But again, we can get by on less than we usually have. And any year, it's always important to remember it's just eight days. Usually for us like 8 months. It's only eight days, and you have your matzah, you have some eggs, whatever it is, and I'm sure we can all survive and thrive and maintain continue to be happy. And I think, and I'll say more about this on Wednesday night during my Shabbos Segala drasha, I think we can still have a very meaningful Pesach this year. That whether you're by yourself, whether you're with your spouse, whether you're with a couple other people, you can still make it a very memorable Pesach. And it's just in terms of your perspective, and recognizing that things are a little different this year, and you make the most of it. And it could be, I'm sure it could be a very memorable, powerful, and meaningful Pesach. Just with that awareness. It'll be something that, God willing, we'll all have many, many more years of good health, and we'll be able to recall, and recollect about what Pesach was like in the year 5080, in the year 2020. It was a little different. It was more challenging, but you know what? It was still Pesach. We still observed the Yontif, and it was still a powerful experience. We still had a Seder. We still said the same words. We still said the Manishtana and the Vadim Hayinu and the Hishamda and Echam Yodea and Chad Gadya. That's not going to change. And again, maybe this year will be more powerful than it usually is because of what's going on. And God willing, again, we'll see Geula, we'll see redemption very soon. But I think the most important message that I just want to convey is just to lower the expectations and to realize that we can still have a kosher Pesach. The fullest sense of the word, even though we're not going to necessarily be following all the hidurim, all the chumras, all the stringencies, and the beautiful things maybe we usually do, and just understand that this is what Hashem for the reason has ordained it to be this way this year, and this is the way that we need to observe Pesach. So I'm going to unmute it for a second. If anyone has any comments, questions, happy to take them. Specific questions? Right, going once, going twice. All right, looks like we're sold. So if anyone has any specific questions, again, they can call me, text me, WhatsApp me, whatever else, your latest technology is you want to connect with specific questions about kashering the kitchen, again, to make it manageable. It looks like right now I'm leaning towards not having a public koshering this year. I just think it's just going to not be a thing to do in the shul, even doing a drop-off. I don't know. People will be there. Proximity, dropping things off, picking things up. I don't know. The koshering in the kitchen, touching your kelim, it makes me nervous. So you can kosher a couple of things, a pot, some cutlery. Fish cups. You can do it in your home very easily. Explain how that will work. Call me. But it's a pretty simple process. You take a pot that you use in 24 hours, enough of a fleishik pot, parv, a chametz pot, pesach pot. You fill it with water. And you take your cutlery that you haven't used in 24 hours and that's totally clean, and you just stick it in the pot. You kosher your cutlery, you kosher your fish cups. It's possibly a little more complicated. Again, you can probably ask me about a specific utensil. And again, it's all manageable. It's all doable. And it's all, yeah, Cookie, you had a question?
Yeah, you can use a chametz pot to make your stuff kosher with Pesach?
Yeah, you can use it. Yeah, as long as it's clean and it hasn't been used in 24 hours, you can even use a chametz pot kosher for Pesach. Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah,
easier than you think it is. Again, I think we for some reason, we was crazy for Pesach, and I think there's a lot of beauty in that, a lot of spiritual lessons and but behind that. But really, to make Pesach is not as complicated as we made it to be. Imagine Pesach 3,300 years ago made it as challenging as it is today. We just, over the generations, have, we want to do the right thing. We want to be careful. We follow a lot of customs, obviously, from previous generations. But you can make a kosher Pesach and not make it all that challenging and difficult. And again, it can be done. And next year, God willing, we can make our drive ourselves crazy once again. But this year, let's try not to. Okay. Anything else?
Wait, so did Cookie just? I don't know if I heard that right. So you can actually use chametz stick pots if you don't use them for 24 hours without conquering them and all of that.
Yeah, if you have a large chametz pot, that's great. That will be a good size for kashering other things. It has to be totally clean and not used for 24 hours. And then you can use it. It can be fleishik, milchik, it doesn't matter. And then you can use it to kasher for Pesach. That is correct. I don't make up these rules and force them. So that one's on the books. You know, and sure, we have this massive pot we bought a couple of years ago. We don't even use it for is koshering, so it's wonderful. We can put pots in there, but if you don't have that, again, there's other ways to make it work. One second. All right. Again, the most important thing about koshering is you have to really just make sure everything is clean. Some things can't be koshered. Sometimes you have like a spatula and has like a little cracks and crevices, and you'll see it's dirty. Just some things you can't kosher. Some knives where the blade touches the handle. There's a little schmutz in there, and you can't clean it. And unless you have a blowtorch, you know, use a blowtorch, so there's really no way of koshering it. But again, those are completely clean. You can that are silver metal. You can kosher it. Okay. All right. Wishing everyone a happy and healthy. And everyone's welcome Wednesday night, 8:15. A little abridged, not as long as I usually give a Shabbos to go to Joshua. Also won't be on Shabbos this year, so maybe like a Yom Revi or Yom Chamishi Hagadol Joshua. Wednesday night, 8:15, same channel. I'll be giving a Shabbos Hagadol Joshua. And a similar theme about talking about and how to make Pesach hopefully meaningful for all of us this year, about how to make Seder, hopefully, to recognize that, again, even under the current situation, we have a very powerful day. Okay, everyone, a very good, healthy evening. Take care.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Rabbi.
You're welcome, everyone.
Thank you.